Good. Good morning and welcome to Trinity. We are blessed and so thankful that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us this morning. You can see from the decorations, we are preparing for a wonderful week, this coming week of Vacation Bible School. We are anticipating 100 plus children. We have 93, I believe, already registered, and so we are excited. We are anticipating what God is going to do in these young children's lives and in their hearts this coming week. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin our time of worship. You'll notice on the back of your bulletin, if you have signed up to be a part of Vacation Bible School as a volunteer, we would ask that you would plan on being here at the church tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And yes, that is 8 a.m. And we will have a short meeting for all the volunteers, everyone who is going to be helping this coming week. And lastly, we did some changes for Vacation Bible School. Next Sunday, we will not have a VBS Sunday. We will have a ministry moment, but our final program will be held on Friday at 11 a.m., and it will go 11 to 12:15. And so we would like to invite everyone from the congregation and all the parents and all the grandparents to attend that are able to do that as well. Please make note of the other announcements on your bulletin, and as God leads, as His Spirit moves your heart, please be involved as you are led. Let's listen to the Word of God. The book of Isaiah tells us, O Lord, you have measured the waters in the hollow of your hand. O God, you have marked off the heavens with the breadth of your hand. You have calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, and you have weighed the mountains in the balance, and the hills in the scales. You are the Lord, O God, and there is no other. Apart from you, there is no God. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we know there is none besides you, O Lord. You are the Lord, and there is no other. That is why we gather, to worship and to praise and to exalt the name of the Lord, because there truly is no other. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank you, O heavenly Lord. We thank you for being the God of all gods. We thank you for being the Lord of all lords, and we recognize there is no other, and we praise you for that. We praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your peace, for your love, and for your understanding. And heavenly Father, we just lift this time of worship up to you. We give it into your care. We pray that all things that are said and everything that is done would be pleasing and honoring in your sight. And so, Father, may you be blessed. May you meet us this day. In the wondrous and the gracious and the holy name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. You know, I've been accused of being overly optimistic. It's kind of a fancy word sometimes for some people like me, but that just means I'm too positive. But you know, when you got the Lord on your side, we have a reason to be positive. So as we stand and get ready to praise the Lord, turn to your neighbor and say, my God is great. As we bow our heads one more time, Lord, there isn't anything you can't do for us, and there isn't anything you won't do for us. Lord, we ask that you transform our lives. Allow us to depend on you for everything. Because what a friend we truly have in you, Jesus. Just as you transformed Peter, Lord, transform us. Let us learn to be as a child and give everything to you, totally trusting, totally in you, not to fear, not to be afraid. But know that we truly have a friend. We have a father that we can turn to. Even if we didn't have an earthly father or an earthly mother, Lord, we have one with you, or if we never knew the love of a mother or father. Lord, but we do thank you for the mothers and fathers that have given so much to the children in this world. Lord, and we do thank you for that. In all things, we give you praise. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry breath. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Though we'll find a solace there.
Let's go back to the first verse. I just feel God's presence, and I just feel like he's leading us to do the first verse one last time.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. That song is just so beautiful, and you could tell it was sung from the heart, Lord. And as I heard the congregation singing, Lord, I could feel your presence, and I thank you for being here today, Lord. I thank you for what you are doing in this church and what you're doing in the lives of these people in the congregation that are here, Lord. Father, there isn't anything that you won't do for us. Let us turn everything to you. Let us learn to be more like Peter and more like you, Lord. Father, today is the day if anybody has anything at all that they've worried about or they've carried with them, just let them just give it to you today. There's no more. There's no more. You don't have to carry any burdens with you. Let us walk with you. No more burdens. Let's be overly optimistic and have a happy life, the life you gave us, knowing that we have a bright future. Today is the day, Lord. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you this morning. If you would turn in your pew Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 22 through 32. And you'll find that on page 1637. In this morning's reading from God's Word, I will be reading out of the New King James Version. So it's a little bit of a translation difference than the pew Bibles. But nonetheless, please follow along. In the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 22. And truly the Son of Man goes, as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of the tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels are the sound of angel songs, and all this for a king. We could join and sing all to Christ our and how divine. This song of ours will rise. Oh, how constant, how divine. This love of ours will rise, will rise. Oh. Heaven, praise, joy. infinite and sweet. This love so rescuing. Oh, how infinitely sweet. This great love that has redeemed. As one we sing. Alleluia.
Be seated. This morning we are starting a new series called Faithful Followers, and we will be looking at each of the 12 disciples. However, we won't be looking at all 12. We'll be looking at just a select few. And this morning we're going to take a look at Peter. And my hope is during this series we will see how God has chosen to use ordinary people like you and me. And what God did with these men, and yes, there were women as well that were disciples of Jesus, what God did with these ordinary people was nothing short of incredible. And friends, my hope is that we will begin to glean and understand that God wants to do those incredible things with you and me as well. He wants to minister to our hearts. He wants to change us and to transform us. He wants to make us into that new creation that our word, the word of God, tells us that we are. And so this morning, we are going to look at the Apostle Peter, and we are going to see that Peter, he was sometimes this vacillating individual who would be at the front and the spokesperson for all the disciples, and yet he was also the disciple that denied our Lord Jesus Christ three different times. He was the only disciple that Jesus gave a new name. We first meet Peter when his brother Andrew brings Peter to Jesus and introduces Jesus to Peter. And at that very first encounter that Jesus had with Peter, Jesus looks at him and says, Simon. See, Simon was actually Peter's name. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Simon, you will be called Peter, which means rock. My hope is that we will begin to glean and understand that Jesus was actually speaking what he hoped Peter would become. He knew that Peter was this indecisive, sometimes having a foot-shaped mouth. And yes, I can understand and I can relate to the Apostle Peter. Sometimes Peter's mouth got him in trouble. He was the one that declared Jesus to be the Christ. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then when Jesus began to share about how he would go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, Peter rebuked our Lord, and he was the only disciple that Jesus rebuked by calling him Satan. If you will, take your bulletins with me, and you'll notice with me 4 points that I wish to go over with you. As I mentioned, Peter was the only disciple that Jesus gave a new name. at that very first encounter. You can find that on your own time. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verse 14, you will see that Jesus says, Simon, you will be called this rock. You will be called a rock. You will be called Simon Peter. Peter can be called the Apostle of Hope. And I believe that church history calls Peter the Apostle of Hope because he knew what Jesus did in his life. He understood the change that Jesus made in his life, and he grasped and really understood what it meant to give the Lord Jesus Christ free reign and free will in his life. Sometimes we just buzz right over that verse of chapter 6, verse 14 in the Gospel of Luke, but there is more implication of why Jesus gave Peter a new name. You can see all the times in the Old Testament, you see Abram, who becomes Abraham, and you see Sarai, who becomes Sarah, and even Daniel. Daniel becomes Belshazzar when he's taken into Babylonian captivity. You see, friends, there's two different things of why people in the Scriptures were given new names. It signified the authority of the one naming that individual that they had in their life. Now let's think this through. Jesus was saying, I have all authority over you, Peter. But then it also signified the lordship of that individual that was being renamed. And so Peter, by accepting this new name, he was literally saying, okay, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. You have the absolute supreme authority in my life. See, I believe that God wants to give all of us new names, and Scripture attests us to that, that in the end times that we will all be given a new name. And that will reflect that authority, that will reflect that lordship in your life and in my life. It will reflect our commitment and our reflection of a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't just miss that. Don't just overlook why Jesus gave Peter a new name. I share with you the following story, and it's from a baseball individual. It's a true story. Tommy Lasorda, who was the former manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, he tells the story of a young, skinny pitcher who was new in the Dodgers minor league system. The youngster was somewhat timid, but he had an extraordinarily powerful and accurate arm. Lasorda was convinced that the young pitcher had the potential to be one of the greatest pitchers ever. But Tommy Lasorda, he says the young man needed to be more fierce. He needed to be more competitive. He needed to lose his timidity. And so Lasorda gave him a nickname that was exactly the opposite of his personality. And that nickname was Bulldog. Over the years, that is exactly what Oral Hershiser became, one of the most tenacious competitors who ever took the mound in the major leagues. The nickname became a perpetual reminder of what he ought to be, and before long, it shaped his whole attitude. Friends, that's what Jesus did with Peter. He knew that Peter wasn't a rock. He knew that he was, you know, hesitant. He knew that he was wavering. He knew that he was one that needed to be the rock, because the promise that Jesus gave to Peter was this: upon you, Peter, upon you, the rock, I will build my church. And so Jesus knew that Peter had to be transformed. He knew that this new name had to reflect his character, had to reflect his person, had to reflect everything that he was. And friends, we could look at Acts chapter 2, and we could see the sermon that Peter preached, and we could see that that's exactly what Peter became. He became that rock. He became that powerful individual in Christ and through Christ. He became what God called him to be, the rock upon who he would build his church. Friends, I just pause right here, and I question, and I have to think, what would God's name be for you and for me? What would God's name be for Trinity United Methodist Church? It causes us to think. And really, the question is this: what does God want to do through you? What does God want to do through this church? What does God want to do through me? What does God want to do through Trinity United Methodist Church? You see, there's more than just a name. A name signifies who we are. A name signifies to what allegiance we give ourselves to. A name signifies what we represent. A name signifies whose lordship has the power and the authority in your life and mine. So the Apostle Peter, a wavering fisherman, a strapping guy, a big man who wasn't afraid of hard work, but yet he was very outspoken at times. He was very flamboyant at times, and I would challenge you to read through the Gospels and see the Apostle Peter and really get in touch with who Peter was as a man. Jesus had a purpose, and this is the second thing that I believe that we can see from Simon Peter. He had a purpose for Simon. He has a distinct purpose for Simon Peter to build the church of Christ upon him. And friends, I'm here to tell you, you could look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and you would see that God has a purpose for you and for me too. It's not just a specific purpose that he had for the 12 disciples. He has a purpose for you as well. I think about this upcoming week, and we're going to have 100 some odd children here, and I think about the encouragement that we could give to him. You know, Jesus didn't look at Peter and say, oh, Peter, you know what, you're more like sand or mud or clay right now. You really need to be more like rock if I'm going to be able to do what I want to do through you. No, he spoke that word of truth, that word of encouragement, that word of life into Peter's life. And I think about this upcoming week. And friends, all of us who will be here, and even those of you who will be here in spirit and maybe not physically, you too can partner with us in that. You too can pray for that time, all 5 days. You can lift up prayers to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, may these children, may these kids receive something that they don't get from the world. May they receive a word of belief, a word of truth, a word of affirmation, a word of what God wants to do in them and through them and what he wants to make them into being. Because friends, God has a purpose for you and for me. He has a distinct purpose. Ephesians 2:10 that says God created us all to do the purposes that he has made beforehand. Meaning you have a distinct role within the kingdom of Christ. I have a distinct role within the kingdom of Christ, and don't buy into the lie that says you don't because you do. We all do. Peter had the role to found the church. You may have a word or a role to encourage others. And friends, there's no one role that is smaller or larger than another. We all have a purpose that God wants for us to fulfill. The third thing that we can see is Jesus transformed Simon Peter into the rock. Now, this is where we all can kind of waver a bit, because sometimes when God is working with us, when he's trying to, you know, instill in us the values, the strengths, the characteristics, the virtues in us and create us to be what he wants us to be, sometimes we shrink back. And you can see that in the life of Peter, that after Jesus was crucified, you know where he ran to? He ran right back to his old job, and he was out there fishing, doing what he knew that he needed to do. And yet, the resurrected Christ reveals himself to Peter. Friends, that's exactly what we do. We shrink back and we shirk back and we go back to our old ways rather than following where God wants to lead us, rather than allowing Christ to do what it is. And friends, I'm here to tell you that sometimes when we follow Jesus, it's an uncomfortable, it's an unpopular, it's a place that will place you in not in really the popular view or opinion of many other people. Peter, church history says this, that he was martyred by Nero. Church history says that he witnessed the death of his wife, who was crucified. And he looked at her as she was being led to be crucified and says, remember the Lord. And then when his turn was come up, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified upright. Please crucify me upside down. Tradition, through the historian Eusebius, tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. And friends, I'm here to tell you that what God proclaimed in his life became a reality, because that is a rock. That is someone who doesn't shrink back. That is someone who says, no, I will go to the end of the line. I will follow where God leads me. I will do what Christ is asking me to do. And yeah, Peter had this sense of times of wavering back and forth and back and forth. And if you're anything like me, you understand that and you can truly can relate to that. You grasp that because I relate to Peter, not only with his mouth and how his mouth would have been foot-shaped because he's proclaiming things no one else would say. But then he finds himself shirking back from what God wanted to do. This is the same guy when all the other disciples are in the boat and they see Jesus walking on the water, and we sometimes, you know, get on Peter and say, well, you look down at the water and that's why you sank. But friends, there were 11 other people who were still in the boat. Peter was the only one that got out. So don't be too hard on Peter, because he's the one who steps forth and is always saying, Lord, I will go. He was saying, I will not deny you. Wherever you go, O Christ, I will follow. And yet, Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But Jesus says this. He reinstates Peter and says, once you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. And so, friends, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you may have not done. I don't care the guilt that you may carry for not living up to what God is asking you to do. What I'm going to say is this, that God, Christ Jesus, our living Lord, is a Lord who gives many chances. If it were not so, Peter would have never been reinstated. It's not about our failures. It's about what God is leading us to do. It's about stepping forth and doing what Jesus is calling us unto. That's the purpose. That's what the new name represents. That's the transformation that God wants to instill in you and in me. And it's the transformation that He wants to come to full fruition in your life and in mine. The last point that I have is this. Jesus had a purpose, and he had a plan for Peter. See, in the Greek, wherever the accent is on the name Peter, Petros, it means Peter. Petros means rock. You have the same name. And so every time Jesus called Peter, every single time he was reminding Peter of what he needed to become. Friends, Jesus has a purpose. He has a plan for you and for me, for Trinity United Methodist Church. And my challenge to all of us is to accept that plan, to accept that calling, to accept that transformation of what God wants to do in you and in me, through you and through me. That's the challenge. That's the calling. I am thoroughly excited about this coming week. We have done many changes with Vacation Bible School, and we have changed things up. Because, friends, if we do the same thing over and over and over again, we'll get the same results. That's what God knew with Peter. Peter, you continue to fish, and yes, you will be a fisherman. But Peter, you follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. That's the purpose that God has for Trinity United Methodist Church. It's to be a fisher of people, to call people back unto Him, to bring back unto redemption in the ministry of reconciliation unto a holy God. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. I'm fearful if we ever depart from that, we will have lost it all. We will have missed the calling that God has upon you, upon me, and upon this church. And may we be bold enough, may we be courageous enough to step forward as Peter was, and may we have the humility that Peter had to accept the rebuke, to accept the correction when that correction comes to you and to me. May we be agents of hope, because, friends, God is a God of all hope. He's a God that hopes against all hope. And may we, as Mike shared earlier, be that optimistic force, believing, trusting, and viewing what God wants to do in you, in me, and through you, and through me. And may we experience the purpose and the plan that God has for all of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for calling Peter, and we thank you for just the words of encouragement it gives to all of us. Father, we thank you for the failures of Peter, that they have been recorded for us to understand that it's not about how we are viewing ourselves. It's not about how others view us, but it's about how you view us. Jesus, even sometimes when we can't believe in ourselves, you believe in us. Even when no one else is following us or believing in us, you are believing in us, and we bless you for that. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, O Christ, for your mercy, for your grace, for your provision, for your honor, and for all that you are. Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you desire not to leave us in the same place, but to change us so that we can fully realize what it means to be that new creation in Christ Jesus. May we grasp that. May we embrace it. May we truly, truly walk with you and be found to be a faithful follower, understanding that it's not about what we have done, where we've been. It's about where we are right now. And oh, Jesus, we bless you for all that you bless us with. We honor you and praise you. We lift this to you in the wonderful and the gracious, the holy and the mighty name of Christ our King, we pray. Amen.
I just want to say something a little bit about Vacation Bible School and how awesome of an opportunity that we have to serve these youth and to serve these people. Because if it wasn't for when I was 5 years old, one of my neighbors asked me to go to Vacation Bible School. And I don't, if you know a little bit about me, I was raised in an atheist home. We weren't even allowed to say the word God in a house. So for a neighbor to outreach to me when I was 5 years old and to introduce me to Jesus and God and to know that I had love outside of that house was just phenomenal. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here now.
And, you know, God is such an awesome God. He does really want to transform lives. I may request that if there's anybody included in the outreach, if they could come forward. And maybe as we sing this last song, we can pray over you. And if you need anything from God, please come up today. I mean, if you want to be transformed into the Lord, come up today because he's here for you. If you could just, as we go into the prayer, into the last song, as we pray for them, if you could just reach your hands toward them, what an awesome God we serve.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
If there's anybody here that's involved in the vocational Bible youth program, please, if you could come forward. If there's anybody here. Take them all, guys. Let's come on up. And if we could all just reach out our hands toward them. And if there's anybody else here that just wants God too and they need God today, just come forward too. We'll pray for you too. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, Lord, there's so much you're doing in this church. There's so much you're doing in our lives. There isn't anything that you won't do for us, Father. As you heard Stephanie earlier talking about how an atheist house who couldn't even say your name. Imagine there's children out there that don't even know you, that don't even have an opportunity to know you because it's not in their house. Lord, these folks here, they're taking a step of faith. They're willing to step out and transform other people's lives, Lord. Father, we ask a blessing over them. That we keep the enemy away from them, that we have your Holy Spirit show up and you guide them and direct them and lead them. Allow them to see the children that need to be here, Lord. Allow them to have the right words to say. Allow them to be able to transform those children's lives. So as they go back home and they talk about you, Lord, and they talk about Jesus and what he did, and what Peter did and everything that you've done, such an awesome thing you've done for us. Allow others to say, who is this Jesus you're talking about? Who is it, Lord? Who is it? Let them say that. Let them come back and wonder more about you. Father, because these folks here, they're going to transform people's lives. And thank you for allowing them to do that. Thank you for allowing them to have the faith to step out. Thank you for allowing them to have the courage. Thank you for letting them take the extra time out of their busy lives. To touch other people's lives and multiply this, Lord, and allow the blessings to flow from it, Lord. We ask a special blessing over each and every one in this entire church. We all are ministers for you. We ask a special blessing over this vocational Bible youth, Father, and we thank you for everything you're doing. Father, if there's anyone here that needs you today, let them understand that you're there with them. And be in their lives and transform their lives. Father, we ask all this in your name. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
as we close here this morning, we would just covet your prayers to pray throughout this week. We have made a lot of changes with this ministry this year, and we have stepped out in a lot of different ways, all so we can be more intentional in sharing the gospel of Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, with these children this week. And so we would covet your prayers. If you're not here, stand with us in prayer. We would just ask you to do that. That would be a blessing to all of us who will be here. And lastly, the last announcement, if you're able, we will be finalizing the decorations here today at 1 o'clock, and many hands make light work. And so if you are able to be here at 1, we would just love that, and we would be blessed because of that. And now may the God of all hope, who transformed Peter, who changed him from being a waffling, you know, hesitant individual into the rock that founded the Church of Christ. May he truly transform you. May he minister unto you and grant you the strength, the peace, the love, the courage, and the grace that only comes from on high. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may we be blessed from Christ our Lord. Amen.